Okay, folks, any questions or comments on anything, and we'll just open this up to anything that I've covered today or that I've covered in the last couple of weeks as we've been teaching on these topics. Any questions?
Yeah, it's Jeff again.
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
I had a, I don't know if I, it's not a revelation, but I have a question. I just remapped the funnels here again, and I understand putting the 14-day launches for the products in order so that people have a pre-launch, launch, post-launch exposure to these things. I also understand the previous class that we had that once they purchase, they go from being on the non-buyer list to the buyer list for that product. My question is that if I want to make sure that all of my marketing is niche-related so that the person is reading an article that's about a certain topic that's handled by one of my products, at least my entry-level products, and hits the squeeze page and all that down the line, and I put them into that funnel, don't I want to have a marketing stream that's congruent with articles and whatever my other marketing is into these entry-level products, as well as bringing them into one product and then introducing them to five more? I'm seeing it on two different levels here, and maybe I'm missing something.
There's another thing that you can do. Okay, there's another way that you can do this, and I've tried to keep this as simple as possible, and this is, I think I've heard and used the word complex a lot over the last few weeks, and you know, this idea that what we're doing, even the simplest model that I've given you is pretty complex, okay? But what I'm giving you is by no means the only thing that you can do. You always have options, just like, and I've really tried to stress this as I teach on it, that when I say 14 days, it can be 10 days, it can be 21 days, it can be 7 days. You could have one campaign that's 7 days, one campaign that's 16, one that's 21, another one that's 9. Okay, obviously, I mean, that would be even harder to put into some simplified model that people can draw out. But there's another thing that you can do is when we've talked about the idea you're going to have two campaigns. You're going to have one campaign for people that come in through a particular entry point. You're going to have a second campaign that is for all of your products being sold to the non-buyers. That secondary campaign is going to start on day 14. Now, when I said day 14, it can start on day 5. It could start on day 50.
Sure.
Okay, so if it started on, if you wanted it to, I mean, it could start on day 21. And when they came in, they came into a certain squeeze page. They get, let's say, 5 days of relationship building, and then they get 16 days of you promoting product number one that is related to their niche. And then after they've had the opportunity to buy product number one, they now go into the non-buyer campaign, okay, that would start with another product. Now, if you wanted to have two products that were promoted at your front end for this particular topic, you'd have product, you'd have 5 days of relationship building, 14 days perhaps of selling product A, another 14 days of selling product B. That would give us 28 plus 5, which would be 33 days. So then you'd have 34th day. Those people would then go into the secondary campaign. Now, if you've got 5 entry points, then all 5 of those campaigns have to go for 33 days because they're all going to funnel into that one non-buyer campaign that starts on day 34. Does that make sense?
I think so. I'm just going to extend out the non-buyer list because I want everyone who comes into my, for argument's sake, my 6 entry points to experience all of the other products. I'm just going to line them up. I think I got that. So they're going to experience all of those before they hit the non-buyer list at day 34 or whatever that
No, they're not going to experience all of them. So you have 28 products. But 2 of your products are very specifically targeted to one particular entry point niche.
Yes.
Those 2 products they're going to be exposed to in their first 30 days. Then they will go into a non-buyer list where they will be exposed to the other 26.
Okay. I think my question was related to having articles come into them getting a freebie report that points that puts them into a funnel for one particular product. But if I have other articles pointing to these other products or other reports that sell those products, I've got a very different animal. I'll shoot you an email.
Let's say that you have two article topics. Okay,
yes.
We're going to make it simple. You may have 100, but it's the same principle. If you have two product article topics,
mm-hmm.
you've got article topic A and you've got article topic B.
Mm-hmm.
Article topic A is going to go to squeeze page A.
Mm-hmm.
Article topic B is going to go to squeeze page B.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze page B, A, is going to go into a campaign that will run for 33 days, that would have 5 days of relationship building, but have 14 days of selling someone the first product that's related to topic A, and then the second product that's related to topic A.
Gotcha.
And then at the end of that, they would roll into the campaign, that second campaign, that would promote product B and product C and product D and product E and all your other products.
Okay.
Then your other entry point is article B, goes into squeeze page B, which has 5 days of relationship building, then 14 days of promotion for product B1, first
mm-hmm.
product in for topic B, then 14 days of product C, product 2, okay, then they would go into this big campaign on day 34 that would promote to them product A, product B, product C, product D. And then you could have a third article on topic C that goes to squeeze page 3 that goes to product C1 and C2, and then they, when they finish that, they now go into this jumbo campaign, you know. And remember, that jumbo campaign is going to include the products that they were exposed to. Okay, it's going to include all of these entry-level products that everybody is exposed to, because they that's the only way that you're going to be able to make it so that they're all in one campaign. The other way would be to have 50 different campaigns that all have multiple products in them. Okay, the idea with this is to make this very, very simple so that you can manage it in your sleep.
Okay, I think I overthought it. No problem.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. I think that was a great question, and I would imagine that some others were. The clarification was probably helpful for others as well. And this can be very, very complex. In fact, it can be 20 times more complex than what I've just shared if you chose to make it that way. I choose to keep it very, very simple. And, you know, for the obvious reason, I want it easy to teach. But really, for me, I want it to be really easy for my system to run all by myself. You know, I don't have an office. A lot of marketers have a big office. I've specifically tried to steer away from the office. And here's why. I'll share with you, folks, why. Would anybody care to hear why I don't care to go with the big office? Over and above the idea that I like the way that I work, and I can work from my laptop just about in any country in the world. But do you folks like to hear the second reason?
Sure.
Okay. That is because what I teach is a home-based model. And if I were to open an office, I could no longer say, do what I do.
Hmm.
And I think that there's a huge trend out there. There's so many marketers that have 20 people working in an office, okay? And they're out there selling material that says, this is what I do to make, you know, whatever, to sit out on the beach. And I make my money sitting on the beach. Well, you may not make your money sitting on the beach. You make your money sitting in the office with your 20 employees. Okay, I'm not accusing anybody particular. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that I think that there's this concept out there that the idea that work from home sells really, really well, but some of the people teaching work from home and do what I do don't work from home. They have an office full of 20 people. And I've made a very conscious effort as I'm building my business that every single thing I do in my business is totally duplicatable by anybody that has computer access, that has basic computer knowledge, that's fairly literate, and that has just a little bit of time on their hands, and if they don't have a little bit of money, is willing to go out there and get a part-time job to create some starter income. I mean, I have really tried to do everything I do in such a way that it's totally duplicatable. Now, some might ask about outsourcing. Well, I know you have outsourced workers. You're absolutely right. And anybody can have outsourced workers. Not everybody can have a 20-person office and still be working in their basement Okay, I mean it just wouldn't work. It just you couldn't do that. You couldn't have both. But anybody can have a home office, work from their home, from their laptop. I run my 100% of my business from my laptop and my telephone. That's how I run my business. And I'll tell you, I've run my business from the beach. I've run my business from the ski resort. Run my business from an airplane. I have run my business in many different states. I have run my business in different countries, okay, and most of the time nobody knows that I'm not in my home office when I'm running my business, okay, and I'm able to communicate with all of my outsourced workers that are all over the country, or all over the world, really, okay, I'm able to communicate with them via a chat feature, okay, I'm able to communicate with them the same way anybody could if they were working from literally a home office, or like I do, I run my entire business, including all of my outsourcers, all of the work I outsource, all of the freelance work that I have people do for me. It all happens from my laptop, or in very rare cases, I mean, this is really about the only place I use my telephone for. Okay, almost everything is run off a laptop, and I've specifically kept it that way. The biggest single reason is because it would change my entire business model if I opened an office, because I could no longer promote what I do exactly the way that I do it. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
You know, and obviously this is something that's unique to me and not to many of you in your niches. But that's just something I just had a feeling I cared to share that with you folks today. That's something that's been dear to me over the whole period, is making this to be duplicatable for other people. And I feel like I've gone to lots of lengths to try to make this so duplicatable for other people. And, you know, that has been not creating a huge office. And, folks, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's tempting, because sometimes I feel like, boy, I could manage somebody in an office easier than I could manage some of the outsourcers. You know, and obviously that's a feeling. You know, I know that some marketers out there do much better with an office, others do much better with outsourcers, and some people do well with the mix. For me, part of staying with those outsourcers and not going with an office is the fact that I can literally say anybody can do what I do exactly the way that I do it. Folks, let's open up the call. Any comments or questions?